Hello and welcome to Tax Invoice, the ATO's official podcast. Here at the ATO, we want tax and super to be as easy to understand as possible. So we've invited industry experts to sit down with ATO's senior leaders and ask them the questions. We hope you enjoy this episode of Tax Invoice.
Well, hello everyone. My name's Michael Croker. I'm the Head of Tax at Chartered Accountants Australia and New Zealand. And with me today is John Shepherd. John's the Assistant Commissioner and Program Lead for Single Touch Payroll, an enormously important project which starts on 1 July 2018. Hello, John.
G'day, Michael. How are you going?
Good, thank you. So let's kick off and see if we can clarify a few things about Single Touch Payroll. Can we start with a big picture, John? Why is it so important for Australia that we have Single Touch Payroll?
It's an absolutely important initiative and something that's not just unique to Australia, something we've seen in other countries, other jurisdictions. The longest running one's probably been in the UK around real-time information. For Australia, the key benefits from single-touch payroll being around a business running its payroll and being able to access that real-time salary and wage information for Australians and in particular their tax and super information as part of that.
All right, well, let's get into a bit more detail. Can you outline in brief terms how Single Touch Payroll will work?
Sure. So as you mentioned, we start from 1 July this year for those employers with 20 or more employees. The key things that are reported to the ATO each payday will be the salary and wage information for each employee, the pay-as-you-go withholding information as well, which will be reported year-to-date, and lastly, the super liabilities for each employee. All of those things will get reported to the ATO each payday at the same time the employer's paying their staff. And then to add to that, we'll also see that increased reporting from super funds, who will actually start to, again to move to reporting those contributions as they're made from the employer to the fund on behalf of their employees. Then we aim to make that information visible as it comes into us through our ATO online services and clearly making that also visible to tax practitioners and other intermediaries who can actually get a real-time view of that information as it's reported.
Well, that's great. So it's a two-stage implementation process and just a little over 100 days to go to 1 July 2018, John. It's not so much 1 July. Everyone's talking about the importance of 1 April. Why is that?
Yep, 1 April is our headcount date. So that's the date that employers are required to count how many staff, how many employees they have, and determine whether or not they start single touch payroll from 1 July this year. So that headcount is built into the single touch payroll legislation. And there's a lot of guidance on our website there about who you count, how you go about making that count. You don't need to report that information to us at the time, but that's how you determine your start date for single touch payroll.
So that's really important for accountants, I guess, to make sure that that 1 April headcount is done accurately and then prepare your client for the next stage, which is to implement single touch payroll. Now, I know you've been doing a lot of work with the software development industry. How prepared are they, do you feel, John, for the software product that's going to drive this project?
You're right. We've done a lot of work with the payroll software developers over now 12 to 18 months, really starting to look at the best way to get this information and making sure that what we are having reported does come out of that natural process of payroll. So there's been a really close collaboration with the industry on this. A lot of those payroll software developers have been now developing their products, noting that there's a few who have said to us they might need some extra time to start reporting, and we acknowledge that there is some real complexity in some of the larger payroll systems and also in large employers, and so where appropriate there is that ability for additional time.
Okay, so I'm an employer and my software provider's either giving me green lights, maybe amber lights saying we think we'll be ready, or there could be some red lights saying we won't be ready. Can we deal with a red light first? What do you do if my software provider is saying they won't be ready for a 1 July 2018 start?
So our process, as I just touched on around, we do have the ability for some deferrals, and in those circumstances, the payroll software providers have come to us with that request for additional time for their employers, and we've provided them a deferral number, which they will communicate back to their employers via a letter from the ATO, and that will actually let people know what their date is. That said, there's lots that people can still be doing to get ready. There's some good material there on our website, but also your payroll software provider will also be providing you with some information about how their product's going to work when it's available and what you can again do to plan and make sure you're ready when it does come on.
Now, these software developers who aren't ready John, they can't get a deferral beyond 1 July 2019, can they?
No, no, that's right. So deferrals, the 18-19 year is our transition year for bringing substantial or our 20 or more employers into single touch payroll. So deferrals are limited to that transition year. So any requests beyond that go into a different process, which is around exemptions, and there are some criteria, some fairly limited criteria around those exemptions, though, that we would be applying.
Okay, well, let's pretend I'm an employer, and let's pretend I'm not ready. What sort of reasons are you accepting from employers like me for granting the employer a deferral?
I think there's a few things there. One is some of those employers have some other things going on in their business. They might actually be going through a fairly substantial software upgrade. They might be actually changing payroll products. And for some large employers, that can be a process that's planned and done over a couple of year period. So I think that's one of the circumstances we have seen and are amenable to, where it just doesn't, it's just not the timing of 1 July is really difficult for them to implement that product. I think there's some others there around some of the, again, customisation of products that some employers have for the larger payroll products. And sometimes that involves quite a lot of change effort on the employer side, which might take them beyond what the deferral is that the payroll software providers had for them. So there's a couple of examples there. Clearly, we're flexible, and really our message is for employers who have some concerns or don't think they can make the date to come forward and put their reasons and talk to us about it.
And if I said to the ATO, I didn't know about single touch payroll, my accountant didn't tell me about single touch payroll, is that an acceptable excuse?
Certainly not. Look, we've been really working hard this year to really start to boost the message out there. We've written to all employers with 15 or more employees last year to just start that awareness. And again, we've just started writing out with a get ready message to all those with 15 or more, really pointing them to the headcount that's coming up. And also doing a lot of communication and webinars and things with employers and with tax practitioners. So there's a lot of information out there now. It's hard to miss if you look around any social media platform as well. So I think, you know, ignorance is really not a good excuse in this case. We would suggest that the message is out there. People just need to basically start moving towards this and making sure they avail themselves of the information that's on our website, but also importantly talking to their software provider to make sure they understand what's happening with their product, and the onus is on those employers to make sure they do that.
On the other hand, John, I guess I'd be remiss if I didn't mention some of the feedback we get from rural and regional Australia, where some accountants are saying, look, Michael, don't you know how unreliable things are out here in terms of internet? And, you know, some of these clients I just see now and again once a week when they come in for their mail and their groceries, and, you know, they bring their checkbooks and what, you know, things are sometimes done the old-fashioned way, John. What's your attitude to some of these situations and that you're hearing about in terms of the pace of adoption? Are they reasons for granting deferrals?
Not so much deferrals probably, but maybe in the exemption category. We have consulted on what makes an exemption for single touch payroll, and certainly, as you highlight, it's hard to meet weekly and fortnightly reporting obligations where you've got unreliable internet. So that is one category where we are contemplating on a case-by-case basis allowing some exemptions. They will be time-based and they'll be revisited as we see internet capability improve, particularly around some of the regionals. And I hear it as well from some areas of metro. There's some black spots, etc. So again, talk to us if that's an issue that's stopping your reporting, and there is that flexibility there as well.
Are there some other broad categories of exemptions that you're giving consideration to, John?
The other one we've looked at is around seasonal employers. So those, for example, this year who have harvesting that occurs around 1 April, around the headcount date, and they might have a significantly larger workforce on their books just for that short period. And if that's the case and then they dip straight back under 20, that will certainly be a criteria for this year. However, assuming that the government's announcement ends up in legislation going through Parliament for smaller employers next year and they start reporting, clearly that'll be a one-off exemption, and next year the headcount disappears, everybody's in, so seasonal workforce no longer becomes a reason not to be able to do this.
Okay, so we've got government backing for the mandatory implementation of single touch payroll from 1 July 2019, subject to legislation going through Parliament. So that would also cover offshore employers who might, I guess, put a case to you to say, can we have an exemption. So sooner or later, everyone's got to come in.
I mean, also interested in some of your perspective on that, Michael. I think, you know, what are you hearing from some of your colleagues about this and their awareness more broadly of single touch payroll?
Well, it varies. Of course, the accounting profession is a broad church, so you've got quite large players right down to small practices out in the bush and in the suburbs. So the interesting thing for me is how we come across to our clients in pitching this issue. Some accountants might in the past have said, well, there's not many fees to be made in PAYG compliance, you know, it just happens. But single touch payroll for me is an opportunity to engage with clients, and we're an adaptive profession, John. So what we sort of hear from the perhaps more entrepreneurial accountants is saying, well, you know, it's time my practice had a focus on business technology. It's time my practice had a bit more focus on employment services. Now, employment services is far bigger than just PAYG and superannuation guarantee. It's FBT, it's benefit design. It's are you complying with all the other rules about work cover, payroll tax, gender equality reporting? And this idea that maybe accountants can start branching into perhaps territory that was traditionally occupied by the lawyers. So this idea that some firms which have multidisciplinary practices, that is, you know, accounting and legal services, might be interested in things like employment law services or designing HR contracts, helping employers with, you know, the day-to-day business of employment. So it's not just about single-touch payroll from our industry's perspective. We find it a fascinating topic. And quite frankly, John, we see this as adaptive technology. I don't know what the future will bring, but I would imagine that once a single touch payroll platform is embedded into the Australian business community, there are other features that could ultimately be added onto it. All right. Well, John, that's been really interesting discussion. Really like to thank you for your time. It's been good working with you in this project. And I think the advisory group that you've got around the ATO, all your IT people, is going to be a big focus over the next 100 days and the first year of implementation. And I wish you all the best for that, John.
No, I appreciate that, Michael. And again, you know, the relationship we've had with people like yourselves and our others in our advisory group and across industry on this initiative has really got us to a really good place. And again, really appreciate you taking the time to have a chat with us today too. So all the best.
Thanks for listening to this episode. Connect with us on social media and tell us what you think. Download the transcript at ato.gov.au/podcasts.